All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Physics Study Group. This is the one and only Sir Black Stallion III. Today, you know, we have a special treat for you guys. We have the one and only Anthony Grant here. You know, we're going to talk about, he's a artist, actor, rapper, philanthropist, marathon runner,
carpenter,
assassin. We're going to talk to him today. But first of all, to my right, we have
David Beaumont, a.k.a. David Beaumont.
And to my left, we have
I'm Wade Bixby, a.k.a. Shabby Ranks.
So, Anthony, first of all,
introduce yourself.
Yeah, man.
Introduce yourself.
Well, you know, Anthony Ryan Grant, aka Antonius the Great. Thank you guys at the Physics Study Group and Who Designs for having me on your podcast. It's a wonderful evening. Mood is right, the lights are dim, you know? Let's talk about some stuff.
And Tom Dubois, everybody. Tom Dubois. Bring it back in. Y'all don't know my man, Ant. Yo, Ant. So bringing it right back along. Yo, Anthony, we just wanted to talk to you and bring you on the podcast and just shed some light.
On the things you know.
We want to shed some light on you as an artist and what you want to accomplish, your goals, and just from the perspective of being a resident, you know, growing up, being born and raised in Miami. You know, say somebody.
First, let's tell the people who you are, like what you're about, you know, just in general, just to, you know, get an intro to.
Okay, well, you know, like Wade Bixby said, you know, I was born and raised in Miami, spent my whole life here in 305, been a Dade County resident as long as I can remember. Recently moved to LA a little more than a year ago to pursue, you know, acting and music and all things creative. That's been a very, very interesting journey so far. But, you know, I'm a person who's kind of come to terms with the fact that the 9-to-5 corporate America is not something that I could be a part of.
Right.
It's not like I've tried it. I've tried different variations of it, and I can't find happiness in it. I'm only at peace when I'm creating. So,
right. Probably,
you know, stubbornness or foolishness, but I'm just pursuing my dreams.
I feel the same way. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I commend you, man. Not a lot of people will pack up and move across country in pursuit of a dream. So,
yeah.
I mean, big ups on you doing it.
Thank you, sir.
100%. So, I mean, you moved out to Cali. Have you seen any opportunities arise? Have you been involved in anything? What have you been doing out there?
Well, I mean, I did my first ever commercial of life.
Okay.
That's what's like 2 months ago. And I guess I can't get into too much detail about it because I think it would expose a lot about certain types of commercials, especially the one that was done. But it's just interesting. LA is an interesting place because opportunity is really not too far away. You know, at any given point, you can drive past CBS, you can drive past ABC, you can drive past the Warner Brothers Studios, and you know, it's right there. You know, you're literally a couple conversations away, maybe an audition away, maybe someone hearing something away from pulling into that lot and people knowing who you are. But it's just, you know, you just the metaphor of having to drive alongside where the fences are because you can't quite get in is LA as a newcomer. You know, like you're just in a place where it's like you're trying to figure out how do I get that key conversation that's going to take me to the next step of my career. You know, like when it came to the commercial, it was just like, well, we saw your reel and you had a nice smile. So we kind of went with you. I'm like, okay. Let's do that. Yeah, like, okay. I'll take what I got to do, you know? So that's been my experience so far. Like, you see a lot of people who have their own goals, dancers, singers, models, everything. And it's just like, you know that the conversation is there. And you're just trying to figure out, who do I need to speak to that's aligned with what I want to do?
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just been a lot of searching, a lot of maneuvering.
Yeah.
Just figuring out how to move and how to get everything set. Well, how to, I guess, make it a little bit easier to reach that path.
It's a humbling experience for sure.
So you have some music coming out.
I do.
So talk to us about, like, the direction you go with your music and the sound, you know, your sound and what people should expect and when they should expect.
Well, I guess to kind of get into my rap influences a little bit, you know, I'm a very, very, very proud rapper of the South, despite being from South Florida. So, you know, I would say Ludacris was probably the artist that caused me to start rapping, because, you know, I felt like he was respected as an MC, but he wasn't necessarily glorifying any particular lifestyle. You know, he was funny, but he could hold his own on track with just about anybody. Right. So that's always something I've kept in my own music, where it's like, you can be funny and make jokes and be over the top, and then as long as you're not corny, you know, and you're authentic to yourself, that can reflect in the music. You know, so him, Kanye had influence for sure. You know, like the Lupe fiascos. And it's like, I really and truly enjoy what's considered really ignorant street music. So it's like, for every Lupe, there's a Jeezy album that's like shaped the course of my music.
Right.
Or, you know, you're like, yeah, exactly. It's just like, people look at me crazy when I say, like, Lil Jon's Chronic 2's album was probably one of my favorite albums ever. You know, it's like 20 tracks of pure fire. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's real. So it's like, when it comes to music I make, it's like, kind of going into this project a little bit, it's just like, I need to have that balance where it's like, I can still have fun, still be myself, but also kind of keep in mind what rap has taught me, I would say.
Right. I feel you. I feel like Ludacris, like, is one of those rappers that never got his, like, due.
I agree.
Dessert, you know what I'm saying? And Lil Jon, like, when you could ensue violence within people, that's talent. people look down on that, you know what I mean?
Hold on. I don't know anyone who doesn't like Ludacris, first of all. Ludacris gets his due because everyone likes Ludacris.
But then he's not in the... I don't know. I feel like probably not in the conversation enough.
I feel like if you had the most likable rapper, he'd probably be somewhere.
Like, but has he ever been listed as like an influence though? Like, I feel like people are quick to name drop Jay-Z, Nas, and I'm not saying you can't, but it's just like, I've never heard, well, Ludacris is my biggest influence.
You know what it was though? He didn't do anything really monumental. He did something really well. Yeah, he didn't come with his own style. He didn't change the game really. He didn't.
But did he not?
Ludacris?
I feel like he did. I think, you know,
I feel like he definitely had that lane too, like kind of Miss Elliott with the wild music video.
I was about to say that. It's like, he would be in a video with an afro as tall as a skyscraper. You know what I'm saying? Or like he has Hulk arms as he's strolling in the club, and you know, he's wearing an actual midget on his necklace. You know, like, and it's just, but you're not like, this is not a corny guy. You know, like,
he was always an entertaining guy.
But then he also hit you with some real shit, like, every once in a while, too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, he has some other.
Yeah, I know. Runaway love.
I mean, Growing Pains. Yeah, you know, like, just stuff like that.
So, I guess we have to ask this question. Just, you know, it's a cliche for a reason. Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Word. All right, in terms of music, honestly, for like the past 3 years, if I'm being just accurate with everything, I've been working on this project that's changed titles a couple times, changed track listing a couple times, but I finally decided to go with the name Rappers as Role Models. I chose a name based off a lyric from Kanye West's Jesus Walks verse, where he's like, rappers as a role models, we rap, we don't think. And what kind of inspired me to make this is I feel like, not rap overall, I mean music in general, but like I feel like rappers are kind of quick to hide behind, well, we're making entertainment, you know, it shouldn't be taken that serious. And it's like, to a certain extent, it's true, and it's always like, oh, it's like a movie, whatever. But to my defense of that is like, I feel like, you know, you don't watch Scarface every day. You don't watch, like, you know, like Carlito's Way every day. But I might play your album every single day. And it's like, at times, like, you can, yeah, you get the creative freedom to make what you want, but it's like, if I'm a 12, 13-year-old kid, at the time I'm hearing your album, like, are you really comfortable with what you're saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, when I think back at the age that I heard Crunk Juice, should I really have heard Crunk Juice at the age I heard Crunk Juice? You know, like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, like, I'd probably say no, honestly, yeah. You know, but I kind of felt like this project to me was like exploring like the duality in hip hop in particular, where it's like you have these artists who are really, really intelligent dudes and they can really, really make whatever kind of music they want, and it's just like at times they take the easy way out,
right.
And it's just like my personal struggle with, well, do I take the easy way out as well because I do want to be successful, or do I make music that's entirely true to me?
Right.
So I'm hoping to like strike that balance, right, with this project.
And I don't think you have to necessarily be clean to have that, you know what I'm saying, that progressive or positive like influence in your music. You know what I'm saying, like, you could definitely, because I've been saying this for a while, like, if you call yourself an artist, if you want to put your stuff out there, you have to realize what comes with that, you know? And yeah, you don't have to make music for kids, but the reality is kids are going to listen to your music.
Yeah.
You know, you have to put that in consideration. You have to have that, you know, that responsibility, you know, because it does come with responsibility. People... Like, I feel like artists just want to be artists and don't want to be responsible for what their content does. And I feel you can't do that. You know,
yeah.
There have to be some form of accountability for that.
So. Exactly. And it's like, I'm not saying that you have to make, you know, squeaky clean, positive, uplifting stuff, but just keep yourself accountable.
Right.
Like, I know, like, I made this song because I wanted strippers to get naked to it. And I can respect that. You know, but don't be like, I'm just a creative artist and I need to express myself. And if you don't understand that, it's like, no, bro, you may just get played in the strip club and I'm okay with that. But just say it. Own up to it.
Yeah,
let's
be real.
Yeah.
Have some accountability in your rap.
Yeah.
Much. Yeah. All right. That's that's completely respectful. Respectable. There you go.
Ah, respectable. That's
responsible.
Cool. Responsible. There you go.
Responsible rapping, yeah. Respectably. Because you want to be accountable. There you go.
Yeah.
All makes sense.
Strategizing.
Strategizing your raps.
Strategizing your wordery. Okay, I'm not saying nothing. Classic diversion. We'll be back after these words. TPSG. Hashtag TPSG. That's Thomas Pennington. Sean Garrett. Thomas Pennington, Sean Garrett.
That's got to be the whitest name.
And so I want to ask you, because you rap, you act,
mm-hmm.
you draw.
To a certain extent.
You blog, you write.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? Do you? Interpretive dancing, forgot about that. With
when I can work it in, you know? Really,
yeah. When you can work it into this busy schedule. But do you have a favorite avenue? Do you have just a go-to, like, you know what, this is what I'm gonna do?
I think the most direct avenue is probably music. I feel like music for the most part is pretty straightforward. When it comes to acting, like, I guess, like, shameless plug, you're like, I put out a short film called Act Right, and you know, the essential concept of the film is like, you take a look at, you know, a person who doesn't come from a particularly moral background, who's constantly exposed to misogynistic ideals and things of that nature. And what happens when you put that person in an extreme situation? How do they react to it? But it's like, when I do something like that, it's like people are going to interpret it a different ways, you know? I might intend it this way and they might be like, wow, this is just, I don't know what this is. I can't watch this or whatever the case may be. But it's like with music, it's like, if you listen hard enough, if you really listen and you're not just taking it at face value, it's like there's something in there that's just very direct. And it's direct for me too as an artist, is because I can just literally say what's on my mind. I don't have to, you know, like paint it in a picture or show it in a visual or give you a visual example of it. I can, if I'm really good at what I do, I can paint that picture with my words. So I feel like it's a direct communication for me, and it's a direct response from the listener.
Okay. So you're just into pure art just coming directly from your soul, like not, you know, being directed by somebody. You just prefer to be able to say what's on your mind.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, obviously I moved to LA primarily to act, but it's like with acting, again, it's just open to interpretation. We could walk into a film and walk out with two completely different outlooks, and neither of them might be wrong, you know? Like, whereas a song, it's like, well, only so many ways you could take this song.
When you create your music, do you ever, imagine, like, visuals that go along with them, like, as you do it?
Sometimes. Like, for example, on Rappers as Role Models, I have this one song. It's titled Workers' Comp. And I'm talking about just the idea of the grind of the 9-to-5, and you know where you think it takes you and where it actually takes you, and just it was almost like a biography in a sense, because like it was literally my journey post college, post high school. But you know, one person I credit a lot is Eminem, because Eminem would drop sound effects all the time in his records, and I really felt like Eminem would rap sometimes for songs, imagining a video. So like with Workers' Comp, I felt like the way I structured it, the way it was written, the way it was recorded, it's like, this has to have a video. And the video is going to be a very straightforward telling of the song, because this what I'm describing is like, this is what happened. You know, this is how it happened. This is what happens to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it is just, it needs to have those effects and whatever it takes to make that idea come to life. So every now and then I'll make a song where I'm like, this has to have a certain type of video to it.
Do you ever like think of like doing that yourself, or like kind of directing, or have you? Because I mean, being that you're a creative person, I imagine there's no real bounds to where you think that might take you. So, like, what are the other things you've considered? Like, just like. That you want to like have your own hands on in terms of like putting together like the whole package of.
Well, I think for me there will never be a time where I'm not hands on with anything that has to do with my career in particular. I think whether it be making a short film, making a song, writing a blog, or doing a skit or things of that nature. I think whether it be me writing it, co-directing it, you know, helping to edit it, I think you have to rely on other people, because you need other people's creativity to really make a creative output. But you also have to, especially if it's your like brainchild, you have to kind of be there to guide the process. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there'll ever be a point where I release something where I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna just let so-and-so handle it. Like, I might trust them, but it's like, well, send me like a rough edit so I can look over it. Because it's like, while you are helping me bring this to life, it's like, it's also something that I envisioned that I felt needed to be seen or needed to be heard, kind of thing. I'm an annoying perfectionist, I would say. Yeah.
But that's a good thing. That means you care about your craft.
15 take a scene.
So what
story for another time.
What's the biggest difference and what's the biggest similarity that you find with LA as opposed to Miami, South Florida?
The biggest difference I would say in LA is just the cost. You like, and I don't say this in a bad way, But it's just, you think you have an idea because people, you like, you hear like, oh, so and so is expensive. Like New York is expensive. Texas is what, like, you hear these places are expensive. Then you get to LA and you're like, okay, LA is expensive. But then you're there and you really start to see what you're getting for your money. And you're just like, this is just not adding up. It's not adding up. It's like, I'm paying how much for rent? And this building hasn't been updated since the 50s?
Oh, yeah.
There's no central air? Excuse me? You know, like, I can hear outside from my room because the walls are just that thin. I can't run the shower and the hot water in the kitchen at the same time. Why? You know?
Does the apartment come with, like, a gang affiliation? Do you have to, like...
I mean, that... Yeah.
Collect your do-rag at the door?
Not so much. Not so much. It's, but that, and I would say, for the amount of freeways out there, there's not really a labeling system. Like, when you mention that, it's like, freeways, there'll be a major freeway linked to, like, a back alley somewhere. So, like, here, it's like, you hop on the 95, you hop on the turnpike, you hop on the 826. That's it. There, it's the 210, it's the 134, it's, you know, the 405. And it's just like, it's not like this big old, the 405 is here. It's, yeah, so you're going to go past Washington and then don't go too far because on your left is this little side street that leads to the freeway. And you're just like, but how? But how? And, just, you know, I would say that's two of the biggest differences that I had a hard time adjusting to. What I'm paying for and just getting anywhere, like a freeway leading to another freeway. Similarities to Miami, I would say, LA is very proud of the cultures that are out there. You know, like how we have like our little Haiti's and like just the air, like, you know, in Miami where to get certain things, like where to get Cuban food, where like where good Jamaican spots are. Right. I would say LA is like that on a larger scale. You know when you're in an area to get some really dope like Chinese food. You know, like, you know when you're in an area where it's just like it's gonna be straight Indian food or whatever the case may be. Like, there's like a culture built around that area. You know, like you I went to a Walmart one time and it's like literally I'm coming up the street and I'm seeing white people, black people, Asian people walking, you know, on the street. I turn, make a right, pull into the Walmart, everyone's Hispanic. Just like that. Because that's just the area. That's just the culture. You know, and I think that's kind of dope in a way. So there's a lot of subcultures that kind of thrive and live in LA.
That's pretty dope.
What's your take on the music industry today?
The music industry today is...
Actually, how do you see yourself fitting in?
Okay, that's a good question. I say the music industry today is in it. It's probably in its best/worst place. I say best because there isn't any, I mean, we were discussing this, you know, off recording earlier, but there isn't any real wall to stop you from getting your music heard anymore. You know, it's like, granted, people might just not want to listen to it. You might not be good.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to stop somebody from listening to it. Like, you can create your own image. You can rebrand yourself as many times as you want to. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody there that's going to be like, yeah, I just don't see it for him. You know, there's no one that gets to push the button on your career anymore.
Yeah.
Or not push the button. And I think that's great. Mm-hmm. So you see the results of that, both good and bad.
Yeah.
Where I see myself fitting into the music industry, I think, to kind of piggyback off that earlier statement, it works better in my favor because I look back at the times where I had wished to be in the industry earlier, mm-hmm. and how I probably would have been in a bad place, whether it be financially, contract-wise, or just the experience itself, you know, maybe bitter and burned out because I didn't have the know-how to kind of like move around my own branding. But it's like, now okay. I can make my own branding. And okay. if the branding is strong enough, people will get behind me.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, from the generation of music I was raised on, there's a changing of the guards that's happening right now. Mm. And the time to just simply be a fan of it is over, mm-hmm. which is why I'm pushing my music probably the most hardest I've done so far since starting it, because it's like, now is my window of opportunity. Okay. Because sooner or later, it's going to shift over to this entirely new generation of up-and-comers. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure I'm part of that.
All right, guys. We'll be right back with more Physics Study Group.
#TPSG. We're going to be right back. Answer a few more questions. Talk about a few more things. And but it might be that time.
So
stay tuned.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Wade Bixby, aka Melvin Bancroft, aka Lee Nelson, aka sometimes Lou Rawls. And I just want to say to y'all, go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes, that podcast. You know we give you that heat for during the week. You could also check us out at who-designs.com. That's HOO-designs.com. That's the most direct source, including iTunes, of course. We are a podcast, so check us out one time, man. From them boys, and see y'all later.
1 more time. There we go. Okay. Hey, welcome back to the Physics Study Group. It is your boy, David Beaumaier, aka David Beaumaier. To my left, I got the illustrious, the wonderfulest, the
Shabby. It's your boy Shabby Ranks, aka Wade Bixby,
and this is the Baraka Flocka, aka Gary Indiana Jones, and we we have with us Sir Anthony Grant. He's been knighted by somebody's queen, but Antonius the Great, the third.
I'll take it.
You know, we're just throwing titles out there. You know, just continuing on the same vein conversation we're having. I believe Mr. Beaumaier.
What you were saying about music is a good place and bad place. I was gonna agree, but all for a little bit of a different reason. I think that there's no boundaries, not even as far as how you put your music out.
Yeah.
But people are being more fearless as far as exploring and genre blending, and
yeah,
actually you're starting to see hip hop evolve into newer things. You're starting to see people experiment until they actually find what they really really like.
Yeah.
So. I thought that was interesting. You said that. And as far as a bad place, yeah, we got to kind of sit through all of it.
Yeah,
we got to sift through the BS until we get our gold and whatnot.
Sometimes there's a reason why people need a button to be pressed.
Yeah,
it's just quality control at times.
Sometimes everyone doesn't need a voice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
we don't want to hear you. It's okay.
We got to deal with that with the internet, right? Yeah. Like, it's great. Everyone can say something, but you don't need to say anything.
You need to be a fan.
Maybe you should just be quiet.
Yeah. No.
If we were able to have quality control in the hands of the people who actually are the founders of the music, that would be interesting. But that's a tangent.
But that means there is, in a sense. I mean, there are tastemakers, there are curators, there are people you can go to, reputable people you can go to for semi-decent music and decent music. And then, I mean, but if you're going to rely on general mainstream radio, then yeah.
But let me ask y'all this, though. Do you feel, because I feel like viral videos are the new gatekeepers.
Yeah.
You know, like, you look at the way, like, Black Beatles by Ray Sherman kind of like took over the later half of the year, and it's like it's a good song in its own right, you know, but it's like we're talking about a song that was on the album that was already released, already has singles, and then the Mannequin Challenge came along, mm-hmm. and it became the song.
Yeah,
it went from being on the album to being on the radio in like that. Yeah. Right. So like, I do feel like maybe the viral videos, that's like the new thing, that they're the new A&Rs to an extent.
It's like whatever can catch the people's eye, like within, you know, that 7 second
exactly.
window, you know, like is that the I guess now, you know, people have such, you know, people say it all the time, people have short attention spans, so, and there's so much content because there's no gatekeepers, because it, you know, it's the internet age, like there's so much content, you have to capture people like within, you know, a few seconds,
mm-hmm.
or is they're just gonna sift through what you have, you know. So I guess whatever it takes, whatever platform you could use that holds people's attentions for however long it takes for them to decide that they actually like what they're listening
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Kind of like, do you have to start? Like, I feel like sometimes, like, as an artist, like, do I have to start my own challenge to, like, get my voice heard?
Right.
You know, like, at times, I just think about that. I'm just like, there's no rules, but I don't know.
But the thing with the culture is, like, you never know what's going to be the thing. So there's so much possibility there. You would, just imagining, like, there are literally no rules as to what you can or cannot, well, other than, like, within the boundaries of the law, or, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, there's no rules, you know what I'm saying? You could just do whatever, or whatever, you never know what might take off or what might work.
Exactly, and it crosses mediums, too. That's a crazy thing about today's day and age. Today, it's an IG video. 2 days ago, it could have been a Twitter challenge.
Or, yeah.
You know what I mean? You could have been the most trending topic. So, it's crazy because there's no telling how you're going to blow or how you're going to get people's attention. And then, two, it kind of forces you to, as far as your creativity, as far as your branding, going back to your branding, how you're going to put yourself out there, how you're going to capture that attention for that 2 seconds. Because, time span, for instance, Instagram. How long do you actually look at an Instagram post?
True.
10 seconds at the most.
Seconds.
And then you decide if you like it or hate it within those 10 seconds at the most. And that's if it's got a long ass caption. Normally it's probably like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And you got to decide if you like it, double tap it, keep on scrolling. If not, it ain't happening. You know what I mean? So you got to find ways to capture people's attention.
I just got a cool idea. What if you just, like, put, like, an album or a mixtape, right? And you just, like, press probably, like, a couple hundred copies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just blow up, like, a whole bunch of helium balloons and just attach them and just fly them.
I mean, it's like there's technically no wrong answer, you know? Yeah. It's just, I'm just, I always get curious about it because, like, you know,
people be like, yo, this mixtape fell in my backyard.
That's you know, or it's like you look at how, like, Vine died, right? Vine died this year.
Yeah.
But, like, Vine is the reason why we heard Bobby Shmurda.
Right.
Because there was a Vine of him, of this guy throwing his hat up in the air and then not coming down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what video is this from? I gotta know if his hat comes down. I have to know. Word. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but now Vine is dead and Bobby Shmurda is in prison.
Word.
You know, like, these are the things I think about sometimes. It's like,
where it's like bridges come and go.
Yeah.
Like you better ride the wave because you never know when this current is going to, you know what I'm saying, go the other way.
Shit, I died. Damn, 2016 took it everywhere.
They
even took an app.
Yeah. Apps died this year, bro. Nothing is sacred anymore.
Word. Oh, and it was so savage how Vine died. Instagram, that was just a calculated assassination. Well,
how about a minute? How about we going live? I've been a big fan of y'all guys. You know, I wish I was there for the premiere episode of, you know, kind of like, you know, what's considered hip hop. You know, are you an artist if you don't write your own lyrics? I think that was a very, very interesting, you know. It's a hot debate going on right now. It's like, we've known for the longest that, you know, some of our favorite artists don't write their own stuff anymore. You know, like, it's not a secret. Like, I always tell people, like, it's not a secret that Ryan Fest wrote Jesus Walks for Kanye. You know, but it's just like, do we still throw Kanye in our top 10 lyricists of all time if he had, you know, a couple people in the room when he's making a record? I don't know.
There's a lot of gray area when it comes to, like, you know, what's your original idea, or if the whole thought belongs to you, you know? So I don't know. I don't have the answer particularly, but what I know is the best artists in general are the writers. You know what I mean? Like, In every field, like, the people who make things tick are the people who create the content, who who imagine, you know, the story or what's being told. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I mean, for example, this was called the Baraka Flocka Show. You know, do we discredit you because
I
you,
like that ring
you know, like, do we discredit you because you have, you know, the other three guys in the room helping you come up with content? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
right.
Is it, why is it, you know, they're like, why is
just,
it?
They're just here, really, for, you know, variation of voice.
Yeah.
it really is my show.
Yeah.
What's happening? What are we talking about here? What's going on?
I mean, any calls or questions
back,
for
baby.
Me?
What's up?
Back from the dead.
So, now, people out there don't know that you were also already acting when you were here in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it easier to get gigs here and there out in L.A., or has it been a little bit more of a glass door, whatever you call it?
I would say, like, kind of like when I said earlier about it being a humbling experience, like, I think in Miami you kind of get the idea where it's like things are a little bit more tangible because the market's not as big, so it's like I can run into the same four or five dudes in an audition out here because there's only four or five dudes in my area going out for these roles. LA, it's like you think you go to LA and you're at the bottom rung, but you're actually in line to be at the bottom rung. And you don't realize that till you get there. It's like you get there, you're like, yeah, I did all these student films. You know, like, I got these headshots. I got this good look. You get out there and I'm like, so what TV shows have you been on? It's like, TV shows? Mm-hmm. None. Oh, okay. Commercials? No. Have you been in a movie? No. I mean, that's kind of why I'm out here. It's like, oh, well, you know, when you've done these things, then you can come see us. And like, but how? You know, but how? And it's just been like the opportunity is there and you're just trying to figure out how do I get to that next opportunity. You know, like even with the commercial I did, it kind of falls in the classification of like, well, this is a commercial for a certain type of market. And when we're looking at resumes and
us any information on that commercial?
Yeah. I guess all I can say about the commercial is it's one of those things where it's like it paid. It's a good thing to kind of show mom and dad at the folks at home, and I don't take anything away from it. But it's like when you're talking to the big suits, it's like, that's cool. Have you done anything for Pepsi, though? You know, like, that's kind of where that conversation comes. Like, you know, the mom and pop stuff is cool, but what have you done on a national level? I'm like, well, that's kind of why I'm here, you know, to kind of get that opportunity.
Okay.
Need experience for an entry-level job, but how am I going to get experience?
Yeah. It's like you escape corporate because you think you're getting away from that, but you're just reaching another level of, like, prerequisites that you can't possibly have.
But you're there.
Yeah. And it's like, again, it's tangible. You know, I know somebody that just got a national commercial. He's about to see a check for $40,000. Outright. Outright.
Ooh.
We're not talking residuals yet. We're not talking, you know, that check that comes in every 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. We're talking flat sum, $40,000, $40,000.
Okay. So for someone like that, right, do they already have to have, like, a manager? How does that work? Like, do you send your portfolio to an acting studio? And
It's a combination of things. In his particular case, he's more of a character actor. So he appeals to two or three different looks, and he uses those looks to get work. So far from what I've seen, your best bet in LA is being a beautiful woman. I've had a couple of friends out there who's gone from, yeah, I'm out here just trying to make it too, and now next thing I know, she's being represented by the top agency and she has headshots done by one of the best photographers in LA because her pictures look good on his website. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
You know, not to say she can't act, but it's almost, who cares? She's beautiful.
Okay.
You know, so it's it can be any variation of things. Any variation of things.
All right, I think we kind of exhausted a lot of time. So what happens then and now? What happened then and then in the future. Think about that.
Deep quote of the day.
So
so now that you're out in LA, you're doing your thing, do you ever see yourself wanting to come back to Miami?
That's a good question. I think
it's hard to say.
Yeah, it is hard to say right now. I think about it a lot. I think this is the phase of my life, and I think life has shown me that I don't really have a choice in terms of when it comes to pursuing my dream. Especially over the summer, life kind of removed a lot of possible obstacles and other distractions and things that might have played a part later on. Mm-hmm. And not saying in a negative way, but just played a part later on. And life was just like, yeah, you know, you're good on that now. So I think to come back to Miami, at least without having known that I gave it my all, would be a disservice to everything I've experienced thus far over there. You know, having to find a place to live twice because I'm, you know, having to leave where I'm staying at or risk of being homeless, you know, like leaving my family and friends, ending a relationship, you know, all these things, like it would be a disservice to these experiences if I'm just like, I'm just going to come back. And if I do come back, I would need to come back with the mindset to find a way to prosper in Miami, not just to return to the same old, or recapture old things. So.
Fair enough. That being said, stay your butt over there. And I think that about wraps it up, y'all. This has been the Physics Study Group interviewing your boy, Sir Antonius the Great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, coming back, visiting from Miami, from L.A. to, back to Miami. We got your boy,
Sir Black Stallion the Third, a.k.a. Gary Indiana Jones.
David Beaumont, a.k.a. The Hennessy Blessed.
And I am Wade Bixby, and of course, a.k.a. Shabby Ranks. Sir Antonio, so where can they find you? Where can we reach you? Where can we follow you at?
Well,
Snapbook or the Instaface. Facegram.
Well, for Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, my handles are all the same. It's Antonius the Great, Antonius. I'm kind of tired. Dagr, the letter 8. For everything wrapped up in one about me, you can go to AntoniusTheGreat.com, and the Great spelled the regular way. Yeah, that's about it right now. I got a YouTube channel in the works, Facebook page in the works, but currently Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram.
All right, good. There it is. Y'all know where y'all can find them. Make sure you go out there, follow, like his page. We are hashtag TPSG, or as you know, the Physics Study Group. iTunes, follow us on iTunes. We got the SoundCloud, Instagram, InstaSnap, Snapchat. we're not on Snapchat yet, but we're getting there.
All right, guys. Subscribe. Rate, follow, like, tell your mom, everybody, spread the word, share, all that. Love y'all. Exactly. Read books, do drugs.
TPSG out.